Washington's playing Monopoly today, deciding whether a couple of companies can pass Go.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of companies are in the antitrust spotlight today in Washington. We're going to get to AT&T's plans to get much bigger in just a moment. But first, Google and its chairman, Eric Schmidt, who's testifying before Congress about possible uncompetitive practices. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
If you ask Jamie Quart at Consumer Watchdog how he'd like the ongoing federal investigation of Google to play out, he's pretty blunt.
It has to be broken up by the government. Google is bigger than Ma Bell. It's gotten too big.
That outcome is almost unimaginable. But at the very least, today's hearings are a distraction for Google executives. Federal investigators are concerned that Google is using its dominant position in search to direct traffic to its own sites, like Google Maps or Google Places. So if you Google hotels in Los Angeles and hit enter, what pops up is a page full of results from Google Places. You have to scroll down the entire screen before you see any results from competing sites like TripAdvisor. Herbert Hovenkamp is an antitrust expert at the University of Iowa, and he isn't convinced any of this violates antitrust law.
It's very, very easy, costless for customers to switch away from Google if Google is not serving them well.
There are lots of competing search engines out there, from scrappy startups like DuckDuckGo to established players like Yahoo. And the outcome of any government investigation is expected to take years. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Also in Washington, there's what's called a status hearing in just a couple of hours at the U.S. Justice Department, looking into AT&T's plans to gobble up wireless competitor T-Mobile. But there's more than just a reception problem for the nation's number two carrier. Dana Fricks is a partner at the law firm Chadbourne & Park, and he's with us now from D.C. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What is today's hearing about? This is just a status hearing. I mean, what is a status hearing?
Well, the Department of Justice has filed a complaint. AT&T has filed an answer. Seven states have also filed a complaint, and Sprint has filed a complaint, all alleging that the transaction violates the antitrust laws. So at this point, there's a natural process for the judge of melding these complaints together and figuring out a process by which the issues can be resolved over a longer period of time. So in part, it's a calendaring issue.
What are AT&T's options to allay concerns about this big merger?
Well, AT&T is going to offer up that it could eliminate spectrum in certain markets and customer bases in certain markets by selling the third party. That doesn't seem to address the Department of Justice's concerns, however.
Dana Fricks, partner over at Chadbourne & Park. He's with us from Washington, D.C. Dana, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now, as they've been most of the morning. The NASDAQ is up about 0.5%, but the Dow is lower now, 0.25%, 30 points at 11,377. The Federal Reserve today wraps up its two-day monetary session. One thing it could do, lower long-term interest rates in a move it's calling Operation Twist.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Engineers from Auburn University say tar balls churned up on Alabama beaches after Tropical Storm Lee have the same chemical composition as samples taken right after the BP oil spill last year. Meanwhile, the Chinese government has its eyes on another oil company, ConocoPhillips, after a couple of big oil spills off that country's northern coast. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Lan Guoping picked the wrong year to start farming scallops. After growing corn for most of his life, the old man's friends convinced him he should spend his savings on rafts, buoys, and nets. Now all of this sits in his backyard on top of thousands of pink scallop shells.
A few days after I noticed the oil in the water, nearly all of my scallops died. The rest of this year is hopeless.
Lan's one of many here along China's Bohai Sea who are suing ConocoPhillips for the oil spill. He estimates he's lost $50,000, his entire savings.
China welcomed these foreign companies to drill for oil as long as they don't harm the environment, but they took that for granted.
It took 2 months for ConocoPhillips to apologize for the spill and to establish a fund to help those damaged by it. And that's why the company's been on the front page of China's state-run newspapers for weeks. It's been accused of poor ethics, negligence, and cover-ups. But last year in this region, a Chinese company spilled around 100 times the amount of oil. The Chinese response? The government blocked its own media from covering that spill.
Foreign companies present the line of least resistance.
Tsinghua University business professor Patrick Shavonik says Chinese journalists commonly get in trouble for going after Chinese companies.
What is possible in China's domestic media has been expanding. Things that would simply never have been covered, now there are people who are willing to cover it. But I do think that covering foreign companies, it's easier because it just presents less conflicts.
This summer, several Chinese journalists defied government orders and criticized the government over a high-speed train crash that killed dozens of people. A few weeks later, though, CCTV, China's largest state-run television network, fired one of its top producers for coverage of the crash. The state press has avoided negative coverage of the train crash ever since. Reporting from Hubei, China, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Later today on Marketplace, Rob looks at computer giant Apple in the Chinese environmental spotlight. And finally, I'm looking for some ideas. I'm thinking of dressing up as the economy for Halloween. So what do I wear? I tweeted that question on my Twitter account earlier this morning. Here are some of the responses I got. Some of the responses that I can say on the radio. A wooden barrel, cast crutches and bandages. My favorite so far, though, is an unemployed hobo doing the twist. Keep those tweets coming. At Radio Chio is the address. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
A thumb on the highway is an icon that's all but gone away.
By the time I was 15, I think hitchhikers had pretty much disappeared.
I'm Bob Moon. On the next installment of Freakonomics, where'd all the hitchhikers go? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.